Thank you very much. I should say that when Jock first mentioned this project, I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. Over time, I've become quite attached to it, and I'm very happy to be a part of it. I'm here today with my colleague from the law school, Michelle, who is, in fact, working in the area. Anyway, I'll perhaps first start by saying in brief terms what civil society means to me as a lawyer. I will, of course, then construct it in cosmopolitan terms. So if we begin just with a basic point, what do I see, what do I think of civil society as a lawyer, and indeed as an international lawyer at that? To me, the idea of a civil society must be created with an essential, if you like, building block in the foundations of our modern democratic state. And I will explain this in detail in a minute. Constructed in its cosmopolitan terms, we go further to say that when we talk of civil societies, or as when we talk of cosmopolitan civil societies, we mean that collection of quote-unquote civil societies which pursue specific goals as part of an agenda to improve specific elements in international public opinion and thereby become watchdogs for international democracy and indeed international justice as such. Now let me explain this in detail in what I have to offer. You see, from a lawyer's perspective, every time we talk about civil society, of course we see it purely in legal terms. The question is whether that in itself is enough. But you see what I mean in a minute. In fact, as long ago as one can think of when we go back to the days of Kant and Hobbes and so on, in the earlier writings, Kant, for instance, argued that law was not possible in a state of nature. That's an interesting point. In a state of nature, law wasn't possible. He then went on to argue that law was only possible in civil societies. What he meant by arguing that law was only possible in a civil society was that he visualized civil society as, quote-unquote, a higher form of social order. Here, his argument really was that civil society is what transformed what the hunter-gatherer had by force to what he acquired as of right. In other words, law was seen as that which regulated human behavior. And once we imposed law on human behavior in that state of nature, we got what they saw as civil society. Now, what's interesting about civil society in this context is that typical lawyer talk, if you like, saw it purely in its legal form. To say that we talk of civil society to mean that civilized community of human beings in which people lived according to rights and obligations, period. Of course, the difficulty, though, is that today, people in the humanities don't necessarily talk about civil society purely in terms of law and order, as we have, in fact, seen here in this brief analysis from people who spoke before me anyway. But what's perhaps important, of course, is that if you look at it from a lawyer's perspective, it makes a lot of sense, because there's a simple legal maxim: where there is society, there is law. The idea being that without law, society is, of course, chaotic. We go back to the state of nature. And so every time we talked about our civil society, we thought about it in terms of a society founded upon, if you like, specific legal rights and obligations, without which we don't have a civilized society. Civilized and civil here being equated. But you could say, and I subscribe to this view, that whatever the legal historians and lawyers' perspective on civil societies may be, it is easily arguable anyway that modern usages of the phrase in the humanities, and in fact including law itself today, does not confine the definition of civil society to that narrow legalistic concept as such. Indeed, no lawyer today will accept it anyway as the definition itself. in common usage today, then, as we have actually seen from what we heard a moment ago, in common usage today, civil society would normally be used, even by the lawyers themselves, to reflect non-government agencies, non-government activity, non-government societies as such. And so when we talk today about civil society organizations, as some of us choose to refer to them, we mean those agencies that are non-state agencies. Now, in this context, it's quite an important part because we are perhaps reminded of what early philosophers like Hegel used to argue when they saw civil society as, quote-unquote, a pre-state phenomenon. A pre-state phenomenon in that it was that organization that was beyond the family and outside the state. It was in between, if you like, the state and the family. And here it comprised of individuals or collective agencies that were somehow it comprised agencies that were somehow knit by common shared values. It's the commonality of their values that, of course, one may use to define the very essence of a civil society. For the lawyer, though, what's interesting about even this new approach to defining what a civil society is as that non-state agency comprising, if you like, a collection of individuals sharing common values, not necessarily premised on some idealistic notions of law, to the lawyer, this is still quite valuable. The reason why we find it valuable is that in legal theory, we still see the new definition as an important foundation for any discourse on law, justice, and indeed freedom as such in a community. The argument being that where you have civil society comprising individuals with shared common values, they reflect specific community sentiments. And to the extent that these groups reflect specific community sentiments, one can sometimes find a good alignment between the state and, in fact, the views shared by these groups. In the process, one can see that, in fact, the very alignment we talk about is bridged by an element of law. In fact, no agency, for that matter, exists outside the law. And so usually, if one can even look at specific empirical cases, most agencies that argue against the state and in the process argue that there are specific issues which the state may be ignoring, they would normally fall on some idea of the law, however defined from their perspective. And so people in legal theory, including myself, would see civil society as still, however defined in modern terms, as still providing a good foundation in legal discourse. One other point perhaps one should make is that civil societies, of course, provide, from a lawyer's perspective in any case, they provide a forum where particular interests in a given political community are generalized and, of course, consensus are developed. The activities of such non-state agencies in pursuit of specific community goals generally reflect democratic sentiments in any case. And my argument here is that based on some of the work we do, particularly in the area of refugees and human rights law, one can cite specific empirical cases to prove this point, that if we have a community out there, be it the refugee advocacy group or, in fact, a specific women's shelter group or however the group may be defined, my argument here is that what they do reflects specific sentiments, which, of course, I said in my empirical argument here, we could use it to suggest that whatever they do then reflects what the general community may, in fact, have as a specific shared value. I'm told I've got 2 more minutes left, and so I'll finish quickly here. Now, constructed in cosmopolitan terms, what I would then go on to suggest is that if one takes the idea of cosmopolitanism as, you know, in its raw form, as the cosmos polis, as that universal element, then of course my notion of cosmopolitan civil society becomes, or cosmopolitan civil societies becomes, that constellation or collection of various non-state agencies that operate at an international level with a view to reflecting specific international public opinion that should guide state behavior. From an international law perspective, this is quite a critical point. From the war in Iraq to specific issues of refugees to the problems in Darfur, what we see specific non-state agencies engaged in doing, we would say, would be appropriate reflections of specific international opinion. Such opinion may not necessarily reflect, of course, what states view as being in their national interest, but that's not what the essence of cosmopolitan civil societies may be. The role of cosmopolitan civil societies, from my view as an international lawyer, is that they are there to become watchdogs of good governance, watchdogs of what communities may generally regard as being appropriate for democracy and indeed international social justice.